All right, let's welcome the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, who are smoking hot, our friend Konzo Martin. Coach, great to be with you. How are you?
Not bad, Frank. How you doing?
Very good. So I understand you were in St. Louis last night watching your recruit, and because he's already signed, you can talk about him. Tell me what you thought of the star at Whitfield last night, Torrence Watson, who had 32 points.
Well, he's a talented player. I mean, I think from the time, from the summertime to the fall, and also the fall up until now, he's made great strides. He's always very talented. I mean, he scored a lot of points on the high school level. Not many guys can say they scored at the level he scored it at in the state of Missouri. But he's gotten so much better distributing the basketball, shot ready, catching and shooting the ball, driving, reading the defense, making quick decisions. And, you know, at 6'4", 200, almost 200 pounds at the shooting guard position at the high school level, and his skill level right now translates to the college level because he can play on the perimeter at that size.
You know, Coach, sometimes when you see a prolific shooter with that big-time release, he's a catch-and-shoot guy. But with Torrence, he'll be able to get his own shot.
Yeah, and again, to his credit and the people that work with him, he's gotten better without question because he's a guy that stays in the gym. He wants to get better. He's a student of the game. But you can see the strides that he's made in this game with his shot, putting the ball on the floor, scoring around the basket. And he's also a very unselfish basketball player, even though he scores the way he does.
And I imagine you don't expect him to be like on the four-year plan in terms of playing time. I mean, as soon as he becomes a Tiger with the holes you have at the 2 and 3 spot, you expect him to be on the floor right away.
Oh, yes. He has every opportunity to be a starter from day one, just like anybody else. I mean, I've never been the guy that holds a guy back from that opportunity. And I think he has the ability to do that and be that. And because the one thing about him, he'll continue to put the work in. And again, he wants to be a good player. A lot of people talk about it. I think he wants to be a really good player, and I think he takes a lot of pride in his craft.
You know, Coach, if you look closely at your record and your work inside Power 5 conferences, the SEC and the Pac-12, your record in the second half of those seasons is consistently really good. What do you attribute that to? Why are you guys figuring things out so much better in the second half of an SEC season?
Well, I just think it's the case. I had one of my former players say that about just this time of year, we just get better. I would like to think I said in a joking way we carve off some of the fat because, you know, oftentimes when you take over a program, you do different things you've done in the past because that's what you're used to. But then all of a sudden you get your personnel and understand this doesn't work. Okay, let's try this. And then you get to this point, you just really simplify things and just stick with what you're doing. And for me, what it came down to, and I keep going back and forth every year, and hopefully I stay consistent with it. I've always been a motion guy, and I think that's what we have to stick with because I have success with that. And I'm not a set play guy every time down. We have sets to get guys certain shots, but you got to let guys play in freedom, play in space. But with that comes the trust part of understanding your best players still need to get shot. Your scores need to score the ball. And oftentimes those turnovers lead to guys with the ball that shouldn't have it in certain situations. But that's the growth of a motion-style offense.
From the second that Jeremiah Tillman arrived on campus last summer, you were gushing about him. You said, you know what? He may be our fastest player. He may be one of our best athletes. And so the other night, he has one of his best games at 14 points, and he stayed out of foul trouble particularly early. What is your game plan? I know there's not one set thing with Jeremiah, but what are you trying to accomplish there?
The key with him is just play as hard as he can play. Just like any 19-year-old kid, you come in at this level, you're playing against great competition, and then you don't have the luxury to call timeouts every possession from his standpoint because he played hard, and that's his strength. Now the key with him to balance and playing hard and doing it without fouling because he's an aggressive player. So for us as a staff, I just said we have to take some lumps as a coaching staff because the one thing you don't want to do for him is to lose his energy, his toughness, and his passion. And there were times throughout the season he was losing that because of the foul situations. But what happened is you have to come to grips with who you are. And I just said, man, if he got to play hard, I'd rather him foul out playing hard. But the thing I think where his growth has come in is we watch film with him and he sees where he's fouling. So, you know, oftentimes in your mind, you can think, well, the ref is out to give him, the ref's making bad calls. Well, we show him the fouls in games. And he said, yeah, you're right, coach. So that's the understanding of knowing that I have to be able to play as hard as I can play without fouling And I think the other part, the growth of a young man, is carrying their scouting report from the film room, from the practice floor into the game. And I just think you saw against Texas A&M, which you have two of the best bigs in all of college basketball, Jeremiah's skill level if he's not in foul trouble.
Mm. You played in the league. You've coached players who've gotten to the league. Do you think eventually Jeremiah Tillman will be an NBA player?
Oh, barring any injury, without a doubt. I don't think that's the issue. I just think it's his growth again every day. But I don't think that's the debate. I think it's, if he's healthy, that's not a question.
We're talking with Konzo Martin. You are right in the middle of a 5-game win streak. You're 18-8. The one dent in the armor is not being able to put away teams. Now, I've always said a basketball game is like a pass-fail class. You win, so you pass. That's the only thing that matters. But I'm sure you are a perfectionist, and you're trying to figure out what's going wrong at the end of games. How do you analyze that now, Coach?
I just think it's going through it. I mean, because before we would lose those games, now we're winning them. And now it's just the maturity, go ahead and finishing it off and understanding what happens. Like, for example, the Mississippi State game, I think, might be Texas A&M. I thought Texas A&M, we had some open opportunities in the zone. And it's one of those deals, you got to lead. Do I shoot quick, but I'm open? Now you hesitant to shoot the ball. Well, my thing is shoot the ball and be aggressive, and you have to make the plays. That's what it is. Now, in games, it's always something different, but you know, turn the ball over, key situation, shooting the ball quick, allow team to get their heads up. So it's a combination of things. I think the only thing that cures that is the growth in time and continue to go through it, because, again, those are games we're winning now, and now it's just a matter, if you're up 10 and finish it with either 10 or 15-point lead, and that's the next step.
I bet when you got a commitment from Cassius Robertson, you didn't think it was going to turn out like this.
I think that's fair to say. I think it is. You know, but he averaged 16 points a game at Canisius. He shot 41% from three. So you knew he could shoot the ball. And we thought we'd get a guy that could really shoot the ball. Worst case scenario would be a combo guard for us, but really a catch and shoot too. But the thing that we didn't know is his ability to work and how hard he puts work in, how much time he puts in the a.m., the p.m., in between practice, at night. And all of a sudden you're looking at a guy could potentially be the player of the year in the SEC that came from Canisius. You know, 6'2.5", 175 pounds, but just worked his butt off to get to this point. And for me, it's a great thing because this is what it's about. And that's who I was when I came out of high school. I was a really good inside player. And all of a sudden, I developed into a perimeter guy. And I knew the time that you have to put in, not get, he was a better skill than I was on the perimeter, but the work he's put in, to see him put it in and for him to see the results, it's a great selling point for young guys that are coming to our program in the future, because we always talk about legendary workouts, and that means when you put in the work in, he's one of those guys that's put a tremendous amount of work in his game.
And what's that work ethic? You arrive sometimes to work at 7 o'clock, and he's finishing up a workout?
Oh, he'll be finished with a workout. I mean, yeah, he puts it in. But again, it's not a case of let me do this so coach can see me. I can see him leaving out because I know where he walks out at. I can see it from my office. But it's not a case of let me bounce balls and loud music so coach can hear me in the gym. Oh, he gets it in now. And it shows. That's why he's having the success he's having. Because if you get up against him, it's not as if he's 6'4", 6'5", 220 pounds. He's about 6'2.5", 175 pounds. But he has a relentless work ethic. And the other part is, just like Jordan Barnett, those guys have done a tremendous job in a weight room with their strength and their conditioning and their endurance. Those guys don't get tired.
Mm. You became one of the most prolific shooters in Purdue history. If you and Cassius play a game of horse, who wins right now?
Percentage-wise, I would win. if we played today, he would definitely win without question. I can't shoot the ball. My shoulder's so bad, he would win without question. But I like to think I would win if we played whenever we played.
Now, do you ever get out on the court? You look like you're in great shape. Do you ever get out on the court and try to, like, push and shove Jeremiah or Jonte?
Oh, not at all, not at all. I'm not, like I said, I'm all my knees, my shoulders, not at all. I don't want to be in anybody's hospital, not at all.
All right, Coach, you know that what's on the minds of many Missouri fans, a visit to the doctor in Dallas today. Could we know something by 5 o'clock today that a doctor has said, okay, start practicing?
I don't know. I mean, it's really what the doctor said. I like to think, I don't know if you say, it's just my two cents as a coach and having injuries and going through this. I don't know if you say, okay, you cleared the play when you haven't practiced. I think the next step is non-contact. And then, okay, see how this goes and then that. But I don't know if it's just a clear the play if you haven't been on the floor and anything live contact. And I've been around a lot of injuries, so I would imagine there's steps to it. So I don't see him live contact tomorrow. No, I don't.
But you could get word today. He's there today, correct?
Yes, you could get word today saying...
Saying what?
I guess he's cleared to go through non-contact stuff.
And okay, so you don't think there's any chance he could be on the floor Saturday?
Not at all. Hmm. Not at all. Not at all.
How about this?
Not at all. That's
no chance. And do you think Tuesday's a possibility if he got positive news from this medical report?
I'd be shocked.
Now, the last time you said I'd be shocked, it was an encouraging thing. Yeah.
If he's on the floor.
Yeah. So the best case scenario would be the following Saturday.
If, I couldn't answer that. Because you got to go through it. I mean, it's hard to say. You have to go through it. I mean, think about it. You've went from November to, I say we played 11th. So November the 10th was your last practice. 5-on-5 up and down contact. Now all of a sudden here we are February the 15th and you just step on the floor and play. Well, you have to go through something in order to get to that point and see how it feels. So, and I can say he hadn't been in any practices to say, okay, he's ready to go.
By the way, too, for the people who say that he would really hurt the chemistry of this team because they've been playing so well, don't you think that's a crock, that he's so unselfish, he sees the floor so well, he's been around your team, he could ease in there fine eventually?
Oh, yeah, I don't think that would be an issue at all. I think the hard part wouldn't be necessarily the guys. I think the hard part would be for Mike. And the reason why I said it, here's a guy that can score the ball, and he's built to score. Here's a guard. Guys, since I would imagine 8th, 9th graders played with the ball in his hand, even though he probably wasn't a point guard, but probably had the ball in his hand 75% of the time, making a play, rebounding, passing it. Now all of a sudden you go into a case where I won't have the ball as much in my hand. I have to adjust to that. Now I'm used to scoring an X amount of points, where I might not get that many shots and points. So there's the growth part and the adjustment of, man, this is different. Because as a competitive basketball player, you're not in your mind saying, well, I've been out a while, so let me just ease into it. I'll score 4 points. I'll score 5 points. His nature is still his nature. That's what made him successful. So it's the mentality of I'm in attack mode at all the time. So that'll be the adjustment more for him and understanding. But the other side of that is how the defense defends him. So it's not a case I'll get a lot of free shots because he's still Michael Porter Jr. That doesn't change.
Yeah, do you realize if he plays, I mean, you're probably already the coach of the year, maybe the national coach of the year, that your basketball IQ will go up 10 points as soon as he plays. You're going to be a lot smarter.
To say, I think my daughter's smarter than me, so I mean, she's only 10 years old. So I wouldn't say that. I just think it's a case when you have good basketball players, it makes, I don't know if easy is the word, but it puts you in position because you have guys that can make plays. And anytime you got guys that can make plays, they can get you out of a lot of jams.
Yeah. Coach, great to hear your voice. Congratulations on a spectacular season. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Frank. Thank you for having me.
All right. Coach Konzo Martin, University of Missouri. That is some interesting stuff.